Skull and Everett present This Week in Horror.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Everett.
And I'm Sickle, and we are Sickle and Everett. We're the Unhallowed Reviewers. We've had a bumpy month or so here, but...
Moving, transitions, life, but we're still here. We're still in hell.
Yes.
We're still boiling.
You know, I'm not gonna dive too much into this, and I probably shouldn't at all, but soapboxing a little bit. Like, we're not gonna be diving into our lives. I was listening to a podcast the other day. They literally spent the first 15-20 minutes talking about their lives. They're like, personal lives. And I realized about 15 minutes in, they hadn't talked about their topics of their podcast at all. And I was like, what a waste of time. Thanks for wasting my time.
We're gonna go straight into it and not talk about our lives at all. If you want to talk about our lives, you can message us and we'll tell you everything you need to know. But
it's not interesting.
The first thing I want to chat about today is the Zombieland Double Tap. I'm kind of... This movie is interesting to me. The trailer came out, and again, we're a little bit behind, so pardon if this isn't this week, but we're going to get into this week, so no worries. But the Double Tap trailer, like the full trailer, came out, and it's been showing stuff, you know, throughout. There's been a lot of clips, but I don't think I'm that excited for Zombieland Double Tap.
No? Tell me why.
I know, and I don't want to be like a naysayer. I'll probably still go see it. I'm just like, it's like a Godzilla minus for me, originally. You know, I haven't seen a trailer that's really pulled me in. So, like, originally felt about Godzilla, I was like, meh. But then I saw the trailer, and I was like, hell yeah, I'm into this now. I haven't seen that trailer for Double Tap. All I've seen is kind of stuff that's similar to the first one. Like, and I don't really like the archetype of character that Jesse Eisenberg and... whatever her name is that played Gwen Stacy in the Spider-Man movies.
Emma Stone.
I don't like it. It makes me feel uncomfortable. Human interaction and human love is disgusting to me as a demon. And so, like, their awkward, crazy junk is just something that could be taken out of the movie completely and it'd probably be a lot better.
Yeah, I,
Wait. And it seems really gimmicky. They're definitely leaning really hard into the gimmicks in the second movie trailer.
Yeah, I think that, like, I think maybe part of it's that, like, the gimmick is the appeal to me. Like, I would rather, because to me, like, the appeal of the first one, or at least chunks of the first one, is twofold. The best parts of the movie are when they don't focus on the story, and they're just goofing around. It's like, what if these types of people were all that was left in the zombie apocalypse.
Mm-hmm. It would be kind of fun, right?
That part was, like, I like all those parts, and I like all the rules that he has. And, like, the way that they did that with, like, the text over the film, like over the scenes and stuff. Like, I love how they did that, and that, like, I feel like those were the best parts of the movie. And, like, I don't need the story part, and any of the story part, I'm just like, nah, you've lost my interest.
How much of that do you think they can do in the second movie, though?
I don't know. I mean, like, the trailer does look like it has more of that, like, they ran away, and we have to go get them, and they're doing this and that, and I don't know. It may be one of those things where, like, I think I want more, but maybe Zombieland was a one-hit wonder.
Yeah, and I'm hoping it's actually more entertaining than I'm thinking. Like, I really hope that it's actually good. Because I would love to have a set of movies that are set in the zombie world that are more kind of entertaining to me, like Z Nation and was to Walking Dead. But my other point is this is how zombie movies have been coming out for, like, what feels like the last century to me. But are they, like, how can they keep going? And after watching, did I tell you I saw The Dead Don't Die?
No.
Did you see that?
No, I haven't, but that's the Bill Murray one, right?
Freaking terrible. It's dumb. I know
I thought
that
the trailer looked pretty bad.
Well, I was expecting some kind of cheesy zombie movie. Like, I was expecting, like, a modern day shot, like, cheesy kind of B-movie. But it wasn't even really that. It was just worse than that. I really like Adam Driver and Bill Murray, but it wasn't really what I wanted and what we needed to see. It was just... And Jim Jarmusch, or whatever that dude's name is, should stop directing film. That's my opinion.
He looks like he's, like, the poor man's, like, Wes Anderson. Like, he's trying to rip off the, like, super ridiculously dry humor. What's that?
That's a really good comparison, actually.
Anyway, based on the trailer.
My main point was, like, how many more zombie movies can get made that are going to be, like, successful? Like, right now the most zombie movies I see are ones that like come out on like Netflix or like crappy Amazon or whatever. They're not like high quality zombie movies anymore. And I will tell you right now, every time I see a zombie movie, I'm like, I'm not gonna watch that unless someone says it's good enough to watch, and I'm not gonna do it.
Yeah, it is definitely like, it's the cash grab. Like, there for a while it was vampires, and like, even there was a period where it was vampires and zombies kind of overlapping,
mm-hmm.
Where they were both making money, and then like the vampire thing started to dry up a little bit, and now it's the zombies are still going, so as long as the zombies bring in the crowds, they'll keep making them. But I'm with you, like, I mean, story-wise, it's the well has dried up. There's nothing really new that you can bring to it. Everything's been covered. They were like, well, what if we make them run fast? And then, you know, they did that, and then they did the, well, what if they're not undead? What if it's just a virus, like in 28 Days Later? And that was super interesting. But then, the well's kind of dried up. And so it's like, you can take it into some funny, weird ways, but it's eventually the original, when it's not original,
mm-hmm.
it stops being fun.
Yeah, and I think, so I will say that if you haven't experienced Black Summer or Z Nation, you should go watch that, because I think that stuff's really fresh and it's kind of good in sometimes a bad way and sometimes a funny, great way. But also, oh, so that's its own point, but I'm really, really surprised that they're going to keep doing Walking Dead spinoffs. There's like two or three spinoffs from Walking Dead that are coming out. And I'm like, you guys
really?
That's
insane to me.
And there's a movie.
Yeah, that's insane to me, because like I feel like it's clearly running low
mm-hmm.
on what it's able to do with the world they've built. And
yeah.
I have no interest.
I've never seen Fear the Walking Dead either. I have no interest in Walking Dead. So
I tried it. It was boring. Oh, it was terrible.
Well, so that's our zombie take for now. I think that maybe this leads right into your real life horror thing, but I don't know. I'm not expecting great things from Zombieland Double Tap, but I probably will go see it still.
Yeah. I mean, like, I hate to say, I mean, especially when it comes to indie films, prove us wrong, you know? Go keep trying to make stuff, and if you think you have a really cool zombie idea, go for it.
Hell yeah.
I'm more than happy to be proven wrong.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to hurt anybody.
No.
Do you want to talk about your real-life horror thing?
Yes, okay. I've got two real-life horrors
for
this week. So, first one is... actually...
Real-life horror!
Oh, there we go. Okay. Yes, sweet. Thank you. Thank you for my intro.
You got it.
Sweet. So, this one is actually... I believe it started back in 2014, so it's not fairly new, but they're just now, recently... It kind of got back into the news because the company and all the people are actually now getting taken to court for it. So it just recently popped back into the news. But there's these companies, the big one, I believe, is referred to as the Biological Resource Center.
Mm-hmm.
And there are companies, a lot of companies like it. And these companies take donated corpses. So like when you die, you can donate your body to science. So these are those places, a lot of these places are where those corpses go, where your body would end up if you... offered to do that for science. And unfortunately, a lot of these places, like, I mean, until like 2014 or whenever this stuff went down, there were no regulations for this. Like, nobody was monitoring these people, these companies. And then, like, a handful, you know, it just took, you know, a handful of disgruntled families checking in on it, and enough of them to, like, speak up to be like, hey, I don't think these guys are
handling
this right. Yeah, so, you know, they finally got searched, and they found, like, crazy disturbing stuff, at least I think it was, but, like, they were supposed to be donating these things, you know, it was supposed to be a non-profit type situation, and they found, like item lists, like, price sheets that they were, like, selling these things, like, selling people's bodies to people, but they weren't selling, like, whole bodies. Like, for whatever reason, they'd be, like, chopping these things up and then selling them. So it's like, we've got two arms for $50. We've got a headless torso for $2,900 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And they were, like, selling all... Like, so they found these price sheets, and they were kind of disturbing. And then they found, like... They would find, like, trash bags full of heads. They even found a cooler full of severed male genitalia. And then in one part, they actually found a, like, large... Like, from a large man... A fat man, if you will, a large torso with a smaller person's head sewn on it.
Dude, so that doesn't really surprise me, because, like, there's some really dark stuff that happens on the internet, and you can actually, like, go buy weird shit like that on the dark web. And so, I mean, or, like, you know, think about all the, like, times in movies where you see someone's like, I need a dead person's hand to, like, fake my own death or something. Like, that's, like, if that is real, that's where that stuff comes from.
But yeah, part of it's, I think part of it's actually, it's beyond the disturbing factor, and part of it's actually just sad. Like, these people gave their bodies to, like, to, you know, thinking that, like, a medical student was going to be, like, you know, practicing to, on them to, like, save lives. You know, that kind of a thing. And,
lo and
or, you know,
behold,
that maybe
like,
that
their
person...
body ends up in, like, Brazil in some guy's, like, museum. It's just, like,
yeah, creeper. It's just, it's turned into this debacle. Like, they said, that, like, you know, it's like a fraction of these people are actually used for the right purposes, and, like, most of them are just in these weird, they end up in these weird places, and, like, you know, in disturbing circumstances, and, like, not used for anything. Like, even some of the people that were practicing on them aren't actually working, practicing on them for, like, a medical degree. For all we know, they're, like, serial killers that are, like, practicing the best way to kill somebody. Who knows?
They're, like, but, giving them to their serial killer kids, and, like, come on, Jimmy, it's time to learn how to cut somebody real bad.
But I do think, like, that last part is kind of disturbing when you think about it. It's like, so, like, did some of the guys just get bored and start, like, chopping up and sewing different parts together? Like, that's crazy.
Maybe they found, like, demand for it. Like, they're like, tell us what kind of body parts you'd want. And people are like, I want a large man's toaster with a small man's head inside. And they're like, $10,000? And the dude's like, sure. Like, sweet, demand generated.
Yeah, that'd be crazy. It's such a, I mean, it's definitely disturbing, but it's a world that you'd want, you know, you've got a morbid curiosity to know more.
Yeah.
But it's, yeah, and I'm sure we'll get more, because as they're getting, like, deposed and all that. The other real-life one I just thought was hilarious was Bernie Sanders apparently pledged to release info about aliens if he's elected president in 2020. So, like, if there is any evidence of aliens that the U.S. government is hiding, he pledges that he will tell us about it if he's elected in 2020.
Does that mean there's no way Bernie Sanders can get elected in 2020?
Why do you say that?
Well, I mean, like, we've done, like, the Earth has done this well at hiding aliens for this long. Like, they're not just going to let some dude who gives in the presidency expose it.
Right? I mean, like, there are so many factors in that, but, like, at the bare bones of it, you're like, first off, how awesome is that, that a candidate would make that pledge? Like,
it's something I'd vote for.
Oh, heck yeah, me too. Like, that's, like, the best thing I've heard before,
yeah.
or I've heard ever for, like, a pledge for presidency that's made me want to vote for somebody. But then, like, if he does find something, who's actually going to believe him? And then if he says that they don't have any info, none of the people that actually believe that the government does are going to believe that. They're going to be like, oh, they convinced him not to say anything once he became president.
Yeah, it's like the most hollow but cool promise of something somebody in politics could ever, like, offer.
Right? Like, nobody's going to really take him seriously on that, but then there's a part of you that's like, eh, I want to vote for him because of that.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool.
Still going to use that as a reason. So I want to jump back just a second. Those are both really cool. We should, that's kind of cool. But I want to talk about some more serial killer slasher stuff. So we were talking about, you know, people buying body parts, and that kind of ties into a movie that we just saw a preview for called Bloodline with Sean William Scott. It's about a dad who is a killer. This is all stuff from the trailer. I'm not trying to spoil anything. Who's like a serial killer, and he has to balance. It's a very dark, maybe humor movie, more scary, about a dad who has to balance being a dad and being a serial killer as his, like, outlet. And I'm just like, what is going on here? This looks awesome.
It's got a bit of, a Dexter vibe.
Yeah,
where
definitely.
He's, like, trying to balance, like, real life with his serial killer tendencies, and it appears that he's using his serial killer, like, tendencies to only kill bad people, like, that kind of a thing. But, like, you know, his wife and kid don't know about it. And, you know, it looks really interesting. I think we're both really excited to see Sean William Scott in, like, a role like this. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like he's been typecasted unfairly into that role of, like, the misogynistic a-hole best friend in all of his movies. And I feel like Goon was a good, like, little glimpse of, like, even though that's, like, just another raunchy comedy, his character is way different, and, like, who he plays is way different, and so I was like, oh, man, look, he's got more to him than just, like, oh, I'm gonna do this girl over here. Like, he's got more to him than that, and so it's cool to see this, and it looks like he does a good job.
Yeah.
Kind of a Ryan Gosling from Drive is kind of the vibe I get a little bit.
Yeah, but it definitely looks like something I want to see in Sean William Scott. It's dynamic based off of what he's done before. If you didn't ever see Goon and all you've seen is, like, Role Models and American Pie, this, you should check out the trailer, because you'll, I think, just from the trailer, be impressed with Sean William Scott's, like, subtle range.
I agree.
Another thing about serial killers is that James Wan is apparently directing an I Know What You Did Last Summer TV show, and I kind of, I'm like, that's, it's cool in its own, I don't think that's the best thing he could have chose as a genre, but Scream has already been a TV show on MTV when MTV was trying to do their, like, horror Teen Wolf Scream stuff, and so it's already been franchised and things like that, and apparently they're reviving the Scream show again too. But how do we feel about like old movies getting turned into television shows?
I don't know. I mean, like, I think that maybe the main reason I don't really care about this particular subject is or this choice.
You mean, like, because him choosing I Know What You Did Last Summer?
Yes. Okay. Is because, like, just what you said. Like, we've already seen Scream, and then I'm embarrassed with myself for not remembering this, but there's that one on Netflix right now.
Slasher? It's called Slasher.
Slasher.
That one's not based off something that already existed that had a, like, pretty successful movie franchise.
No, but I guess what I'm saying is that, like, my issue isn't with it being based off of a movie franchise. It's what it's based off of, like, the subject matter. Mm. Like, we've already got Scream. We've already got Slasher. Like, why are you doing
Scream
I Know What You Did Last Summer?
That movie, too, which was kind of, or Shirley, too, which is kind of funny because it was, like, a parody of, like, Scream Queens and Slasher movies, which I thought was a cool take on it, but it was kind of stupid. So you had to be okay with, like, a really dumb show.
Yeah, and, like, I Know What You Did Last Summer was always this weird niche movie to me, because it, like, because I'm pretty sure it came out after Scream, didn't it?
Yeah,
and so
it
felt
like the Hollywood
satire of
stuff.
A satire. Yeah. So it was like Scream is a satire of like slasher movies, and then, like, I Know What You Did Last Summer came out as this, like, self-aware movie that was a satire of Scream, where it's like, no, it's serious again. Like, it was, I don't know, it just never really struck a chord with me.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it wasn't my favorite one either, honestly, but James Wan doing it, I think maybe it could be interesting. At least producing it, so that could be fun.
I'm definitely not going to take away the concept of, like, bringing a movie to it. Okay, could you imagine, if it was done right, how awesome, like, a 13-episode series of The Thing would be?
Yeah.
Where it's just set in the ice, and then, like, you just slow everything down a little bit. You build up that paranoia, and you don't know which... And then, like, you know, once every episode or once every other episode, you get one of those just really awesome gory eruptions out of a person.
Yeah.
And, like, you lose a character that you thought was super safe. And, like, oh my gosh, I want that so bad right now.
It'd be far, like, more that of a would thriller be awesome. At that point. And that's the... I guess that's the other part, too, right? Is you're describing kind of a thriller with action scenes in it. What the interesting part about taking these franchises and putting them into, like, the TV realm is that you have to take away what makes a slasher movie a good slasher movie and turn it into a slasher series, which is more of, like, a mystery thriller than it is a slasher film, right?
Very true, yeah. That's a very good point. Like, yeah, you're not... Because you're losing the tension.
Yeah.
You can, in some ways, retain the atmosphere, but you lose that tension.
Mm-hmm.
And the killer could come at any moment. Like, you'll have lulls in a show where it's like, okay, we're dealing with this character's character development, and she slowly figures out this part of it, and it does. It's not that it's not good, but yeah, it is a very different approach.
Yeah. So I guess I'm mixed. I don't really need to see this. I would rather see other things get made into TV shows, which is my next topic. Which is, I guess, Event Horizon got picked up as a TV series for Amazon, which is, like, it's like when you're, like, surfing the internet or, like, reading the newspaper, whatever people do nowadays, and you come across, like, something that just completely catches you off guard, like, and you're, like, but you're excited for it. That's how I felt when I read that, because I didn't even know that there were options to turn Event Horizon into a TV show. But Event Horizon is one of my, like, favorite sci-fi movies ever. because it emulates so much that Warhammer 40K style of horror. And if you're not familiar with Warhammer 40K, it's like super grim dark fantasy or super grim dark sci-fi. But Event Horizon is all about like the human chaos and the things that happen to people when they go to places they're not supposed to. And I don't know, it's kind of cool. But Event Horizon itself was also really kind of a crazy gory movie for its time, and it was just really good. And if they make it into a TV series and they can bring that whole atmosphere through without cheesing it up too bad, I think it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it was like the best twist on a haunted house, mm-hmm. like ever. It was very underrated when it came out, but I think it's aged really well. And yeah, I love that movie. I'm really excited for that. I feel like that we're entering this really awkward period. This is kind of off topic, but it's on topic. we're entering this like really like awkward period in like entertainment and media, because it was Netflix and TV. Like, that's what you had. And then we had Hulu so that the Netflix people could still watch some regular TV. And then it started to blow up from there. Because, like, those two were separate enough that they weren't really challenging each other, you know?
Yeah.
And then they started doing, like, the Starz packages. And then Amazon's came onto the scene. And then a bunch of little small streaming services came up. And now everybody wants a piece of the streaming pie, because they see the writing on the wall and that TV's dying. And that the only thing that's keeping it alive is news and sports. And so, like, everybody wants to get into the streaming market, so they're pulling all of their properties from these other streaming services, namely Netflix, and so everybody's scrambling to create their own original content so that people will keep their service. And it leaves the people that left television behind for streaming kind of in this awkward place of, like, what they don't know what to do yet. Because it's like, well, the reason that we weren't with Netflix is because it had everything that we were looking for mm-hmm. the most part, at a cheap price. And if we have to start getting everything a la carte, it's going to go bump everything back up to a monthly cost of, like, we might as well have had television again. Because at the end of the day, you've got Netflix and Hulu and Amazon and all, and, you know, then we got Disney and all these other ones that are going to start having all their proprietary content.
Yeah.
And everybody's going to have to make a decision. And I think that this is a really interesting period that we're going to be... And I think this is related to horror and sci-fi.
Oh, yeah.
Because we're going to have to make choices. Like, you're going to have to make choices if you're not going to want to pay for all of these services a la carte.
It would be really smart for people to get together, and kind of like what Disney's already done, is buy a bunch of really good production companies and, like, make sure that all their stuff's on their streaming services. Like, they've got Fox now, and they have integrations with Sony, and they own Marvel and Star Wars. So it's like they have a solid basis for having a lot of good film and movies already. So, like, you kind of can't not choose Disney unless you don't like that stuff, right? And if you have kids, you want Disney, because all the Disney stuff comes on the Disney streaming channel. So if they can conglomerate together and kind of be like packaged streaming services, is really how the smaller ones are going to survive, I think.
Yeah, and I actually heard that. I've heard a lot of rumors right now, and this one I did not validate at all. But
good.
I had heard that. Firstly, I've heard that Netflix is dying. And because I think it's done its best to try to prepare for this by producing ridiculous amounts of proprietary content, like it's okay, trying to get, go the HBO route.
Game of Thrones deal.
Yeah, they're trying to go the HBO route and just create as much proprietary content as they can before they lose all their customers, so that people will say, well, I really, and I'm one of them, I really want to see Stranger Things 4, so do I really want to cancel my service between now and then? Or do I just want to hold on to it in case something else comes up? But anyways, the other thing that I heard was on the packaging front, somebody had told me that Hulu and Disney were actually thinking of packaging.
Yeah, there is actually. Which would be great. Like Hulu, Disney Plus, and then ESPN are going to be like a thing.
That's amazing, by the way, because then you're getting
It only costs you like double what you'd pay for just Disney.
That's what I heard. So like, I feel like that's the kind of stuff like you're talking about that's. That's a killer to other streaming services, especially bringing that sports into it.
Get all that for like crazy. $13 a month. No question.
Oh yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Anyway,
you do that in a heartbeat.
Horror, like aside, the streaming services are going to be really interesting, and Amazon getting that is just going to keep them running. I think I don't know if they're going to die, but I'm really excited to see the competition fire off, because it's going to mean there's like either tons of good content or stuff's going to die real fast.
Yeah.
But
it's gonna get crazy.
In other weird news, talking about some movies that have been, you know, had a lot of news lately. One of them that came out of the blue that I didn't think about, blue, it's because it's Color Out of Space. This is a Color Out of Space. Apparently it's premiering soon at Toronto International Film Festival, which makes me so excited because I totally forgotten about that movie. It's the Nicolas Cage Color Out of Space movie. The, like, H.P. Lovecraft one, and I don't even care if it's terrible. I just want to see Nicolas Cage act in an H.P. Lovecraft movie. That's, like, the the epitome of, like, crazy shit that can happen in our lifetimes.
This is, I feel like this guy is on the verge of just, like, suicide, and we're all just, just relishing in his movie choices.
Yeah, well...
And just, like, the ridiculousness of
everything.
He's
really knocking it out of the park.
What was that, Bandy? Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it just seems like he's devolving, and it's, I don't know, we're all reaping all the benefits.
You just imagine that scene from The Wedding Plan Singer.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. Yes. 100%.
So, yeah. I mean, I'm really excited to see it. I hope it comes to Toronto or Telluride. That'd be really cool. If not, I'll just have to wait and see it when I see it. But I'm really excited that it didn't just die like all the other H.P. Lovecraft movies did.
Man, it's coming up, man. We're like 2 months away.
Yeah, it's
so excited.
Great. All right, the last thing there's two things I want to finish talking about, and then we can finish it off with whatever we want. I read an article that apparently Danny Trejo like helped rescue some kid from underneath an overturned car, and I'm just like, well, good guy Danny Trejo. He's like the craziest mother effer that you're ever gonna see in any movie he's in. But he's also, like, the one of the best human beings on the planet.
Yeah, like, I think he's a great example of, just because he was a convict, and, like, he was originally typecasted as one.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, to see him bounce back from the early parts of his life and, like, getting the second chance that he got and seeing what he did with it and, like, seeing what he's done for those around him and, I don't know, he seems like he's a really good dude. And I just think that's awesome that, like, I don't know what his mistake was. I don't know why he went to prison. I'm not even 100% sure if that's true. It may just be a rumor. But that's, but, like, if it's true, like, it's just cool to see some, like, this is what happens when, you know, good people get second chances.
Yeah. The final thing that I'm really excited about is we keep getting more and more news on Venom 2. And it's like, it's kind of like the Event Horizon thing. You just keep reading news about this movie and, you know, the first Venom wasn't terrible. It wasn't necessarily what people wanted because it had to be PG-13, but it had to do a certain thing. It had to do a thing that, like, all first movies in a franchise have to do, which is finish, get out there, and make a little bit of money, right?
It had to be safe.
Yeah.
It was a little paint by numbers.
Yeah. And the Venom 2, they're just, like, pulling out all the stops, it feels like, because they're like, we're going to let Andy Serkis direct it, and we're going to keep two of the main actors. That's really always good for movies for me. We're going to let Tom... Now we figure out that Tom Hardy's actually part in writing the script again. Because I think he was involved in the first one. They just had to get rid of too many things, you know, or something. But basically, like, he's involved in it now and with Andy Serkis. And Michelle Williams is coming back, so you have all these cast members coming back. There's supposed to be She-Venom again, and it just is going to be... I don't know. Every time I see news about Venom 2, I get excited. And it might just be because the Absolute Carnage thing is happening in comics right now, and that just makes me excited as well. But I'm not going to attribute it to that.
I'm really excited for it. I feel like having Serkis on board with his like filmography, even though he's only really like, done like one low end directorial outing, but like just like his filmography, what he's done. I feel like he's going to have a really interesting perspective to bring to this. I feel like he's really going to listen to Hardy's ideas. Mm-hmm. I think this is as close to indie as this type of film is going to get. And so I think that's a good thing. Yeah. I think me and you agree that even if it fails, if it's doing something different, it'll be fun.
Yeah, it'll be... So pardon my bringing this up, but it'll be like the Ghost Rider franchise. I mean, the Ghost Rider franchise is one of the single Marvel movies I forget about that I love. Like... Both of them. The first Ghost Rider, because it's just Nicolas Cage being a Marvel superhero. The second Ghost Rider, because it has the directors from Crank, and it's just crazy.
The second one is, to me, like, super underrated. Yeah. I did not know why people hate it as much as they do, because it's exactly what it set out to be. It was just chaos.
Yeah.
And, like, I thought it was so much fun. I 100% disagree with you on the first one, though. That just abomination that they brought out there to play Blackheart.
No, you're right. I forgot about that card because I blocked it out, but every other part of that movie is pretty entertaining.
Yeah, if you just, I don't have an issue with the rest of it.
Black part.
I just can't because I wanted. Yep. I was so excited to see Blackheart, man.
No, you're right. I did honestly. I'll say that right now. I forgot about Blackheart, and that was disappointing. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's all we're talking about today. Keep in tune next time. We're gonna for our 33rd episode. We're gonna talk about horror trilogies, like the good, the bad, and the weird, like. Planned trilogies versus unplanned trilogies versus things that should have been trilogies that went further or should have been trilogies and didn't go far enough. Just trilogy talk. Three's the number.
Yeah.
So just, we're going to be talking about trilogies. So get ready for that. And, you know, thanks for listening and like, comment, subscribe. Let us know if you are still here.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.